We usually see numbers that are off the charts. 80, 90% of actual employees, and this is a tool that is rolled out to every employee, not just to a few, that is using Workvivo on a regular basis. And I'm talking companies like Dollar General, 200,000 people using, using the app, and Virgin, but not only one Virgin, 40 Virgin companies, from Virgin Media to Mobile to Atlantic to Galactic, that are using the same platform. They call it Virgin Family.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey, this is William Tinkup and Ryan Leary. You are listening and watching the Use Case Podcast. Today we have Gideon, and it's short for Gideon. So we're going to be talking a lot about him and his software. And so let's just jump right into it. Gideon, would you do us a favor and introduce yourself?
Sure thing. Thanks, William. Hi, Ryan. Sure. My name is Gideon Pridor. You actually pronounced that right. That was very surprising. So 12 points. I head marketing for a company called Workvivo. We are a startup in the employee experience, internal communication space. We have been acquired last year by Zoom, that everybody knows. And I'll be happy to talk a little bit about what is an employee experience platform, which is a pretty big buzzword, but what we mean when we say it, why I think that this is probably the most competitive platformization that is happening in SaaS today. Right. And what does it mean that we're now a part of Zoom? What could, people leaders expect in terms of how their tech stack is about to change? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so Giddy, why don't we start there? Why don't we start with how did Workvivo become part of Zoom? What does that mean for practitioners and TA leaders that are in this space that are looking for engagement?
Sure. So everybody knows Zoom, and since the pandemic, Zoom became a household name. So it commoditized remote collaboration. Big companies, small companies, even my mother micromanages our family with Zoom, right?
I love the way you put that.
I love that. So great.
I think it was a. You might have thrown a joke at me the other day, William, about Skype. You would do whatever sound is. I was watching as one of the local news stations. They were using Skype.
Oh yeah.
As their medium for their interview, and I was blown away. I haven't heard Skype in years. Yeah, this is just yesterday. Yeah.
Done some research into this. It's because they're a Microsoft shop. And so they use Teams and they use other things.
They use Teams, they use Skype.
And so they use Skype. It's same thing if it's a Cisco shop. And so you see.
Doesn't make it any better.
No. I haven't been on Skype in 100 years, but that's why you see it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So, Ryan, remember back in the day when you asked me about us and Zoom?
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue with my answer now. I'm just going to go back to my answer now. So
micromanaging us over Zoom.
Absolutely. So Zoom commoditized, I would say, remote collaboration. It became a thing that every company, even traditional companies, were using. But I think that with time, it was pretty clear. I think we all felt it that as we were going more remote, and even people that were always outside of the office, 70% that work in the front line, in the cashier, in the front desk, expectations changed a lot in terms of what employees, the relationships between employees and work, people looking for more meaning, a lot of stuff I'll talk about later, but the human aspect was taking a hit. It was pretty clear that we're from Zoom to Zoom to Zoom and suddenly I forgot to eat lunch. Everybody could relate to that, right? And these things, subtle things that happen in an office environment, kudos, recognition, a new employee, say hi to the team, town hall meeting, CEO feeling the pulse of the organization, being that culture agent, all of these things. I didn't really have a tool, a technology to run them. We sort of did that face to face. They were taking a hit. We all felt that. And then we started to read about the great resignation and then quiet quitting and a lot of buzzwords that mean the same thing, people connect less.
Right.
Unlike before, it became a big, big deal with big business implications. And you know that the researchers, a lot of them, that show that this is the number one concern, number one, before productivity and quality of output of CEOs, especially in companies going hybrid. They feel it. They feel it diminishing. What's the first thing CEOs are writing about in their biography? Successful founders, culture, team, taking a hit. And Workvivo was built as a technology around primarily employee engagement and open communications, more democratized community-led communications, which was a story we had to sell before 2020. And it became very, very, very sought after since 2020, when this became an urgent problem to solve. And CEOs were trying to sort of like build their airplane or their parachute on the way down, you know? And we saw a big, big spike in demand. We started to sell not only to very advanced companies, but to the most traditional brands that you could imagine, right? Fortune 500 companies and all that. And we became that main employee app that every employee uses from the office, remote, to the frontline, in order to engage, to connect, to give somebody a kudos, to read about company news, to collaborate in a community space, a lot of use cases. And then because it was the tool that people actually use, unlike most 99% of what we have in the HR stack that nobody uses,
right?
Especially intranets and stuff like that, right? Even that word, intranet. So people use it, and then we got more and more demand to add functionality. I want it to be the intranet. I want it to be my surveys. I want it to be my brainstorming. I want integrations to my HCM so my frontline people in that fast food chain would see their shift management or see their pay stub. And we added a lot of it, but we ended in a place today that it's a very wide platform that we call an employee experience platform. Our customers call their digital heart. And if most other tools like intranets are built like functionality, a portal, and then maybe it has a like button, we have this whole backwards. We built this as an engagement, democratized communication, community platform that really developed in order to, you know, do a lot of these other functionalities that, for example, an intranet would do. And we have a lot of companies, some of the biggest brands, you know, that run on Workvivo as their main employee app today.
So two things. Give us a timeline. When did you first start with the company? When was the acquisition? So that's one thing. Two, can you sell it outside of Zoom? Meaning, can someone that's a non-Zoom customer, if you will, can they buy you?
Yes. So first of all, yes, of course. We have two main. First of all, it's important to like notice that this. You asked why Zoom bought us. How did this happen?
Right.
Zoom
right.
thrives to be, you know, the main communication and collaboration platform. And they launched Zoom. We launched Zoom Workplace 2 weeks ago, which is so much beyond video meetings. It has chat and it has whiteboards and it has, a contact center and Zoom documents and a lot of stuff. And that's mainly in order to do work together, right?
Right.
Adding that human aspect that is more asynchronous, that is longer living content, that doesn't disappear in a chat, where you could actually manage culture, digitally, that is a big, big chunk of the digital employee experience that needs to be addressed technologically. It's by nature softer, so it's not in the realm of collaboration, but it was a perfect match to this idea of Zoom in building that like a full platform that covers all aspects of communication, collaboration, employee engagement in one company that is going like digital first. So today you have two variants of the value proposition. First of all, you could buy Workvivo as standalone. We are still running Workvivo as an independent, as a brand by Zoom. And
right.
most of our customers would be using Microsoft and Google, but they'd be using mainly Workvivo for everything that has to do with employee communication, engagement, replacing their old intranet, and almost in every case, all or most instances of SharePoint, which is a tool that even if it comes free sometimes, nobody uses that.
Right.
So
they didn't use it when they paid for it.
Yeah. And then on the other side, you have us and Zoom together, where you buy one platform that is not an integration. It's a native part of a Zoom workplace platform where you could toggle in one client between sending you a chat, you know, going into WorkVivo and giving you a recognition or putting it in a longer lasting brainstorm in a community space that is attached to that, doing a town hall and Zoom webinars, but inside WorkVivo and seeing the engagement that people could chime in, right? Jumping on a meeting. So that toggling between synchronous and asynchronous, collaboration and engagement. People in the office and people that are remote, culture and productivity, all that type of communication happening in one tool. For the admin, it becomes sort of like an operating system for communication and engagement in like one place. For the user, it becomes that one employee app where they could work together, but they could also be together and feel a part of something, which is so, so important today and needs to be addressed by technology, even if it feels softer and fluffier. As I said before, number one challenge.
Yeah. So I love everything you're saying here, because I think this is all obviously needed very much. What's the adoption like when a company brings this solution in? Are the employees reluctant to get off of, for example, Google Docs and share, you know, and Google Docs and tools like that and coming into Workplace or in the WorkVivo?
So, you know, probably you interview people, Ryan, and, you know, they always tell you, good question, right? Yeah. So I actually mean, this is a good question. Very good question.
I appreciate the reason I'm
saying your other question was shit. This question?
Your other question was terrible. Every question you made so far was horrible. Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah.
This is the thing, Giddy. When someone says, I really like your haircut, what they're really saying to you is, I hated your haircut before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they mean, right?
Anyhow, you just talked to me yesterday. You didn't like it yesterday?
you know, guys, there is this thing. I'm originally like from Israel. I grew up in Israel. And like I always say, tell this story that there is a word interesting. I live in Europe. I spend time in the States. In the States, a lot of time they say interesting. And what they really mean is, I'm not listening to a word you're saying.
I don't give a fuck.
But then you go to the UK and the person is politely saying, interesting.
Yeah.
What they mean is, I'm listening to every word, but this is utterly the least interesting thing that I've ever heard in my life. This is not interesting. Then you go to Israel and the guy says, interesting. What he means is, this is generally interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like, I have to watch what I say right now.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
This is really 100%. Interesting. Continue.
No. Anyway, Ryan, back to the question. Adoption is the most important thing. I am shocked seeing all these RFPs, and I see hundreds of them. It's amazing. People, companies, they understand the problem. The CEO, one of the things that happened since 2021, I would say, with bigger customers, prospects, the CEO is involved because they're the number one power user that wants to connect to the people, not through a newsletter and a million middlemen, but like a modern age politician, even if it's not accurate. They just want to, like, you know, do that on their phone and feel the pulse and be able to do that, especially like modern CEOs. So they're in. And still, it goes to IT. And you get this huge RFP that you need to checkmark. Most of these are features that people just like develop, you know, vendors are developing in order to make the RFP, you know, and adoption is not there. Now, adoption is more important than the entire RFP. Are people actually freaking using this thing? How would you ever build impact if nobody's using this thing? And it bedazzles me, but it's being sort of outsourced to IT. They don't want to involve HR, people's manager, comms manager, because why would they? They don't want to get confused. They don't want them to confuse them with their emotions and feelings, right?
Right.
So they're doing an IT like acquisition, and you get this huge Excel, and it doesn't even mention the adoption. So to me, adoption is more important than the entire RFP. And if there's one thing you need to do is prove to me as a vendor, prove to me that people are using it, not because you choose two customers. I want to test it. I'll go to five of your customers, and I will see how much they are in love with you and how much people are using it, and show me the number. Like, you know what, like in the greatest movie in all time, show me the money.
Show me right? the money.
Jerry Maguire. Show me the money, Jerry. It was Jerry. Yeah.
And then, like, so that's, I think, for us, it's the biggest thing that's driving the roadmap. The biggest thing we're measuring is adoption and actual daily usage. We usually see numbers that are off the charts, 80, 90% of actual employees. And this is a tool that is rolled out to every employee, not just to a few, that is using WorkVivo on a regular basis. And I'm talking companies like Dollar General, 200,000 people using, you know, using the app. And Virgin, but not only one Virgin, 40 Virgin companies, you know, from Virgin Media to Mobile to Atlantic to Galactic, that are using the same platform. They call it Virgin Family. In the store, at home, in the office, they're sharing the same brand. They're sharing the same Richard Branson that is a user on the platform. So you get that, like, layer. And adoption is very, very high. So first of all, that is our number one, like, when they ask me, what is your differentiator? Then in one word, it's adoption. And then the other message is that, A, it's not just an IT decision anymore. And B, nothing is more important than adoption. Do that, prove that, and then go to the RFP.
So, Gideon, I hate software categories and have for a long time. However, a lot of budgets are built in Excel, as you well know. So, in particular, HR budgets are built in Excel. Where do people categorize you? Where do people put you? Where do they allot the budget from?
So it's not easy when you're disrupting a category, but what we're seeing very clearly today is categories and budgets merging, consolidating in a big way.
Yeah.
It's very hard to manage. You used to have two, we call it employee experience, because I'm sure, and I see it every day, the digital employee experience is a big, big SaaS category that is being created. I think it's the most significant SaaS category, at least around workplace, that is being created right now. What is emerging? And I see it in the budget. It's not like theory. Intranets,
right.
Internal communications, point tools like newsletters and stuff like that, that platform like ours just like does. Employee insight / listening / employee voice.
In order surveys.
Surveys and stuff like that is in there as well.
Engagement, and, rewards, and recognition. Engagement,
recognition software. So think about it. You have 1,400 Workday tools, and you have two main centers of gravity. You have the HCMs like Workday that is about streamlining work, but it's mainly operational. You have recruiting, you have payroll, you have core HR. And then on the other side, you have a big, big sun, like center of gravity around productivity, with productivity suites, collaboration suites, and a lot of stuff that like connect to that. So they would do a lot of it and integrate to other stuff. It's like two suns that a lot of tools gravitate towards. And in the middle, you have a lot of tools around engagement, communication, everything that I just said, that are point tools that sort of integrate to anything. All of them are struggling with adoption. Because if you have a recognition software, who would be there in order to recognize it? If you have a survey platform or even like a Qualtrics or something like that, at the end, where do you send the email? Where do you send the questions? In an email. So it becomes like an email tool in a way, right? They're not there waiting to be asked the question. It's in their inbox. So, so these things are consolidating, or what we're seeing is platformization is one thing that does most of it, will never do all of it, integrates into the other suites, to the HCMs, to the productivity and collaboration suites. But in 2-3 years, I think it won't be about which employee experience, if you have an employee experience platform, it'll be about which one you have. Just like when HubSpot and Marketo started, you had your landing page generator, you had like email automation, you had a lot of stuff. And then a few years after, it became a marketing automation platform. Fast forward 3 more years, which one do you have? Are you on Marketo? Are you on Pardot? Are you on HubSpot? It happens in markets. It's happening here, and it's huge.
Let's talk about your customer base. Who is your ideal customer here? Are we talking enterprise? Are we talking SMB? Everyone in between? Where are we going with this?
So, like a lot of companies.
When he said RFP, That's code for enterprise.
Yes.
It's true. We started like more, we started a lot more SMB, and we thought that we're going to be one of these like SaaS companies that sells to SaaS companies. What we discovered is they need us less. So we have tech companies, but they have a lot of tools, and then you compete with chat, you compete with this. Our ICP,
you're competing with all those little ones. Yeah.
Yes. And or maybe they're big ones, but you're running on Slack. And then even if I think it's hyperactive and overused and distracting for stuff that should be longer lasting and not like FOMO driven, it's a cultural change that is hard to push. You have a lot of options. Our ICP is most definitely bigger companies that have a strong frontline employee base, people that don't have a desk or even an email in a lot of cases, in most of the cases. And companies that take culture and their employer brand seriously. It could be because they're big on culture. And in the cases that I mentioned, it's usually also because of the case that they're plagued with ridiculous rates of attrition with frontline employees. And it's the number one business cost in the world. It's $1 trillion a year in the US alone. It's insane. So how do you tackle that? The only consensus between every research company in the world, nothing yields higher ROI or impacts attrition more than engagement. And if you think you could influence that with everything that I mentioned before, by giving you a recognition, a shout out, which is a feature in our platform. Mm-hmm. And William chimes in and he says, actually, it's not deserved. Ryan didn't do a good job. I'm kidding. But he says, yeah,
it would
well
never
deserved.
Happen.
And more people chime in, you know. So that thing that would happen naturally in an office is even longer lived online. And it's the happiest moment that person had the whole quarter. Maybe he's a developer. Right. He's writing code. He's cleaning the office. It doesn't matter. But this, connecting something that you post to a company value, hearing your CEO. So when you meet that person once a year, you feel that you've seen him like 20 times. Just like when you talk to your family on WhatsApp or FaceTime.
Right. So because you've seen them all that. All
exactly.
Year.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is exactly like what I'm talking about.
What's the experience like for the employee? I'm assuming we're mobile first on this, or maybe not. But what is the experience like for someone at a company that they don't have an email, but they're on the road a lot? Is this mobile? Do they have access to this all the time?
So, yes, it's mobile first. And obviously there is like a mobile and a desktop like experience, because it's not just for frontline employees, or a lot of companies are dedicated to that, but they would be more focused on streamlining operations, shift management, stuff like that, which is also important, would be much more about the heart, the culture, the engagement, the communication, right? So the main delivery would be mobile, but there's a very strong like desktop experience.
Yeah.
And what was the rest of the question?
Well, when you were talking about the employee getting recognition, and then once a year getting to physically speak with the CEO or seeing the CEO at a company meeting, my mind immediately went to those, maybe hospitality, for example, or, you know, field service people, field support people, where they're constantly seeing all of this stuff on their phone, or immediate gratification, they're on the job site, or they're waking up in the morning, or they're just walking around the house on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And they've gotten that recognition. They're with their family, they're with their spouse or their, you know, in-laws or whoever, and they get a ding on their phone. And it's, you've been recognized for something on a Saturday. And they're seeing that immediately, and they're getting that feeling of gratification. That's where my mind went to. And so I'm curious, how does that work? What's that experience there?
So first of all, as an admin, because for the user, it's this employee app, but for the admin, it's sort of like an operating system for managing the digital employee experience. So you have a lot of governance. Some companies don't want to democratize everything and let everybody share content, right? And some companies want to have less restrictions or more restrictions. So you have a lot of choice in how it starts and how it develops. If they see it on the weekend, if they don't, we have digital signage as well as one of the products. Do you want to have that as like a You want to have the in your Lululemon store, it's a customer. You want to see like the, you know, the digital signage in the stores would show you the latest and most important things that you need to get updated about.
Right.
So you consume it there. So it's a combination of screens. It's your mobile. And whether you use it outside of work or not is a definition that you have as a user.
Yeah.
And also your admin might have. There is the desktop. There is the combination of the two in companies that have frontline and desk employees. There is a digital signage in the factory, as an assembly line, wherever that is, or even on the plane. We have Ryanair. It's like becoming the second largest airline in the world now. Did you know that? And air crews are using WorkVivo. They're connecting with people at HQ and all that. So you have stuff like on the planes. Anyways, that's how you consume it. But it's not like a cookie cutting machine. It's changing between company and company, depending on how much they leave to the user and how much the admin actually sets the rules.
So talk me off the ledge. When you bifurcated or separated productivity, collaboration, digital employee experience, and then basically core, all the plumbing, et cetera, that happens in HR, my mind has been thinking about why are there three? Because productivity and collaboration seems to me that it could fit nicely into the experience. Meaning, instead of Zoom powering or Zoom powering WorkVivo, WorkVivo could power Zoom in a sense of productivity is a part of experience. Collaboration is a part of experience. It seems to me that there's just a waterline of what's below the waterline is efficiency and all the things that kind of fit into that, payroll, core benefits, all that stuff. And then there's above the waterline, which is experience. And so I see the world potentially incorrectly, but I see the world of you could consolidate performance and collaboration into experience. Now, again, talk me off the ledge and tell me why that's a stupid idea.
Actually, I love that. And it's like you're a visual person, so you visualize it very nicely. So these things are very connected. Like this is this is why Zoom bought WorkVivo, because Zoom is has a vision.
Smart.
Zoom doesn't want to be a meeting stool. Like that's that got commoditized a long time ago. So we have a lot of ways to collaborate, right? From whiteboards to like chat and documents that are collaborative and other stuff. And a lot of these tools, clips like Loom that you could do inside Zoom Clips today. Mm-hmm. And you have the Swiss Army knife that is Zoom Workplace platform recently launched. It is amazing. But then add to that everything that is above the water and they're inseparable. The only choice of how to go to market is how much you want to educate the market and push enterprises,
right,
especially into a place that they're not ready for. So
right,
if you're a huge Microsoft shop, sometimes that's not like a discussion that you could even have with the CIO. That's not what they're looking for. But we
right,
still want to give them the opportunity to do something extremely transformative and change their top-down communication. And, you know, like
maybe that's the land and expand. Land and expand. You go in through there, change their world.
I think for some it would be like land and expand, because Zoom is the pace of Zoom like development is amazing.
Right.
They develop new products faster than normal tech companies develop features. So it's so much more than meetings today, and it's just like challenging old productivity suites already, because it's so broad. You should have another like chapter like this just about the Zoom part. It's amazing. But like some enterprises would want to look at a bigger transformation and have that, like, you know, one client that you could move from everything, do that town hall. Think about where it's going. A town hall inside WorkVivo with all the comments and engagement that WorkVivo could offer you, but running on Zoom webinars, which is an amazingly reliable and great technology for webinars, for video, right? And this sync and async,
right,
interchanging, is nobody else in the market offers that today, at least not in one package solution. Microsoft would have stuff, but it'll be all over the place and priced under one package. So that's very unique for some customers. They're looking for the whole shebang, and we're developing that, and we already have that. And for a lot of other companies, we're helping transform something really big without telling them you have to change your entire productivity suite.
Right. Yeah. So questions that practitioners should ask about buying a digital employee experience platform. So what should they be asking that possibly they're not asking right now?
Number one is what Ryan said before. Are people freaking using this?
Yeah.
Like, will people use this? Prove it to me. Because
I don't think that gets asked at all. Not a lot. It blows my mind, really.
It's worse than that. So business cases that are built in work tech, all business cases, any HR professional listening to this is going to both love me and hate me for saying this. Every business case that's ever been written for a piece of software in our world, in HR tech, work tech, whatever, is the math is absolutely incorrect. It is a lie. Every one of them. Because every one of them are assumptive on 100% adoptive. So if you build a business case, you should punish the math by at least 50%, probably 75%, so that you show the return much longer down the road. Right. Yeah, you'll get there, but you're going to get there way further down the road. But they jack up the math
to because get the product.
Because they basically say, we're going to do something old, we're going to install Brass Ring, and everyone's going to use every single feature.
Right.
On the first day. Yeah. That doesn't
exactly happen. It's not realistic. You ask yourself, why do most companies buy something like this? Because it needs to comply with the RFP, and they had a task to buy a tool like this year, so they want to make the best decision, or because they want to drive amazing transformation that would improve their attrition and take their employer brand perception off the charts. And it's option number one. But more and more companies are not making the strictly IT decision. I see it by the emergence of new titles like chief experience officers.
Right.
That are not about the operational 90% that chief HRs care about. And I see it about the emergence of chief communications officer or communication, not just reporting to marketing as sort of like a necessary side gig, but to the CEO or to the chief of staff. A lot of different weird structures.
Because it means something.
That mean the same thing, because this is becoming acute and comprehensive.
Are you seeing a correlation? I'm assuming the answer is yes, but I want to ask it for the audience. Are you seeing a correlation then between customers that you work with that maybe you sold in through a chief experience officer who cares about the actual experience versus you just filled out an RFP and want it because an RFP writer is kick-ass at the company?
I'm not sure I'm supposed to, but I'm going to give you the most honest answer. So it's hardest to sell WorkVivo. As I said before, WorkVivo, in 90% of our customers, we replace your intranet, we replace your newsletter, we replace your internal comm tools. I didn't say that, but we replace hundreds of homegrown websites for different legacy campaigns built on Drupal and WordPress that still need to be secured, maintained. Off with that, they're in our pages, in our wiki. We replace a lot of tools with like this one platform and one like app that feels very consumer and delighting and not corporate at all, right? Now, when the sales process is only IT, they're looking for an intranet and they don't want anybody to actually share information. They just want it top down.
It's a place to put files.
We're not going to win, or a lot of them come back to us because whatever they chose, like they just stayed with whatever Microsoft, they come back to us because you don't transform organizations with Microsoft. Like, let's call it what it, you don't. You transform that. So if it's just that, like siloed IT, and they're looking for better resource management and governance, it's probably not us.
Right.
When
right.
we see the other sides of the people managers, the communication, the CEO, and like C-suite involved, we hardly like lose. But the easiest, if these would be the hardest, the easiest would be when it comes through comps or new titles like culture, heart, right. employee experience, because they want to seek that transformation. Even sometimes D&I and stuff like that, they're seeking inclusion. It happens. In the middle,
right.
we have probably the most important persona that is not the easiest, and that's the chief HR officer.
Yeah.
Because they are very busy, very burned out, and 95% worried about HR operations, payroll,
right.
recruiting, core yeah. HR, streamlining the machine.
Right. And but they're also tied to the business from a revenue as well.
It's a good point. Like what? But what a great opportunity to grow around the C-suite table from sure. sort of like a necessary evil to a right hand to the CEO, to a transformation change agent, because right. who should own people, engagement, culture, being all in, if not yeah. the person that is in charge of people? I see going forward, either chief people's officer changing, like modern chief people's officer that have a VP of HR ops, but are very focused on this and are right. much more strategic, or a separation between a chief HR and a chief experience that is all about that.
Well, you can take a lot of the efficiency stuff, call it what we will, and you can put that in finance and in operations, right? What you're talking about doesn't belong in finance and operations. It's the soul, the heart, you know, this is something that's different, but it's absolutely affecting the bottom line in every single way, whether or not you retain, whether or not you can recruit, whether or not you can get the most yeah. out of your talent, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I can see that world, the world that you just described, play out the way that you think. That some of these things, I've questioned this for years. Why is payroll under HR? Like, I don't understand the concept. Yeah. Like, why
great,
is it this
it's
finance?
A great point. It's a great question. Yeah. Why, actually, really? It's an operations well, thing. Like,
100%. Yeah. So,
you know why? Because it's still called, and I hate this term, but think about it. We're so used to it. Human resources. That's almost insulting. Yeah, yeah.
It is absolutely insulting.
Who wants to be a freaking resource? Don't never call me a resource.
Yeah. Trees.
We should just run a whole series.
Trees love being resources. Yeah. Oil.
We should just run a 6-week episode series on asking CHROs, what are your thoughts here?
What would you get rid of? Yeah. What would you get rid of? You can get rid of anything because it's the 100-year-old house.
Yeah.
It's the house that was originally built.
The bricks are
falling
apart.
And then all of a sudden, then they started adding new things, a garage, another second floor. That's HR. That's HR as we look at it today. It's a 100-year-old house. Where you walk through it today and you're like, what in the hell is going on? It's because it just kept getting things added to it by other departments.
Right. So William, let me build off of that real quick. So sure. Giddy, this isn't product related, it's more team related and I think work vivo related. Is it more exciting or do you see more success going into a company that's similar to what William's describing, where the organization was built with 10 bricks and it's got 80 other bricks that are half fallen, half gone the other way. They're on stilts that aren't to code. Or do you like to go into a company that is already built out? They have the structure. It's running like a well-oiled machine. It just needs Work Vivo to be better. Where do you thrive better?
I think that I think the different leaders in WorkVivo and Zoom would give you different answers to this question.
Right.
I'm like a risk taker. I like, you know, I'm like a no guts, no glory kind of guy. So
give me the shit show.
Yeah.
You have amazing companies like Virgin is inspiring. You see the power of a brand connecting 40 different companies, going to freaking space, selling mobile phones. To, And like they have so much, it's so inspiring. It's a beautiful, by the way, it's the most beautiful Work Vivo environment than anybody else ever branded. It's amazing. And then we take that to the next level because suddenly digitally they could have that layer of cross-company Virgin that they couldn't have before. They share the same Richard Branson, right? It's amazing.
Yeah.
But so that's nice. But going to an oil and gas company, Fortune 10 company. That is our biggest deal to date.
Right.
And like, they're coming to us, and actually the deals are not closing in 2 years. That's, you know, a specific deal closing like 5 months. It's amazing. But
yeah,
but it's because they feel
well,
the
they've
problem,
got to do something.
They feel
they've
got to
do something with
something's got to give. Well, like
they've got an aging population.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, though, the aging population there ages out quickly, and they're not being replaced.
Sense of urgency. Giddy, I think you for me, it's if you can ever time the sale with your value proposition and their sense of urgency, turns out that 18-month enterprise sale can happen in months.
It's like I remember when we started to talk about, I'm a story guy, you see this. So I was telling the story. I'm very connected to it. I started working with Work People as a consultant, like after a success with my previous startup, and I didn't want to commit, but I got sucked in because I believe in everything. I'm saying for real, like no, like, you know, no bullshit.
Yeah,
I really believe.
We can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would choose the shit show because, like, yeah, that's where transformation 100%. Actually happens. And yeah, they are feeling it now because they need to invest in something. You know, they're use cases that I didn't even imagine. Big enterprise in the U.S. that have a pre-onboarding problem. I didn't know that that was even a thing.
That is
pre-onboarding.
A thing.
You know what? That's people that – it's like people signed it, but they're just not showing for the first day of work because they're that.
Sure. Yeah.
But that, yeah, they want – so they want to use us. So they want to connect that pre-onboarded employee,
oh, yeah,
like, mm-hmm, from the beginning to feel 100%. It, like, hey, welcome to the team. You know, we have a feature called Say Hi. It's a feature. We always have about 20% or 30% of the roadmap that is dedicated to something that, like, our customers were not asking for, so we can
right,
keep ahead of the market a little bit. Yeah. Say Hi is a templated, like, sort of canned video that it instructs you through it, through questions. And you introduce yourself when you join the company.
Yeah. You say hi. Now,
very simple. And you could watch other people say hi from the CEO to, like.
But again, it's back to the experience. That person now gets the thing. It's like, oh, cool. I know somebody.
Yeah.
You know, now I can actually, and again, because there's a platform underneath it, the underpinnings, it's now I can communicate with that person. I can do something with that person. Yeah. So
all three of us, we're extremely old people. But think about, like, extremely young
some are,
people.
Some yeah. are younger than others on yeah, this call. Yeah. William is,
I think,
He's a baby.
Yeah. No, I don't mean mentally. I mean, like, age-wise.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go. There you
real
go.
Age.
There you
but,
go.
But what I mean is, like, a 21-year-old, seriously speaking now, joining a company remotely. Yeah. Somebody says his name in an all-hands meeting. What a lonely, sad experience. When, what would you expect? Of course they're, like, at record levels of disengagement, these Gen Zs and all that. So stuff right. like that, that we're able to do digitally. It's a language that they speak, they TikTok, they do all, it's like, it calls for it. So there is a huge opportunity, I think historically even, to, like, get a more connected workforce than ever before. Take these traditionally unconnected people in the front line that were resources that shouldn't be a part of the company culture.
Yeah.
We're right. a fast food company. They churn. We'll get new ones.
Yeah.
You have
the ones that are interacting with your customers. Yeah.
And meaning is not about necessarily curing cancer. Meaning is about having relationships. It's like about getting that kudos, understanding the company values, not because they're in an employee book somewhere, but because we have a feature for this in WorkVivo. Because I posted something, and in a click of a button, I connected it to a company value. So you learn to see these, like, every day and connect to them. You understand what they mean. And side is, like, you know, it's the future. And people would stay more because they feel at home. They feel like they belong to something else. They're not selling their time anymore.
You can't care about customer experience if you don't care about employee experience.
Yeah.
Like, there's a disjoining aspect to that. It's like when you mentioned frontline, it gets me to think, these are the people talking to your customers. It isn't the people in Chicago at headquarters. These are people that are actually interacting, serving, et cetera. And if they're engaged, then the customer experience is potentially going to be better. If they're disengaged, it's absolutely going to be worse.
I feel like every CEO that participated in Undercover Boss would want to purchase WorkVivo for their company. 100%. Right? Because they 100%. Are the front line. You're dealing with the customer head on.
I'm going to steal this that one from you. This is like an ad.
Yeah, it, you know, when you say out of all the great stuff, and I say great because one, I love the name WorkVivo. Yeah. Sounds happy, right? Yep. You outside of obviously all the great things you guys are doing, where your customers love you. You mentioned a few things. One was it's a consumer. You said something around consumer grade or something to that effect from a usage perspective, yeah. Right? So when I'm on my phone and I'm using it, I'm familiar with it. This isn't going into, a large, Microsoft, for example, and having to go through the old intranet drop-down. Like, it's a modern system.
Well, it's I'm a have to versus want to, right?
Well, a lot of these systems, I want to use it.
Yeah, a lot of these systems historically, you had a gun pointed at your head.
You had to use it. Yeah.
But this is, we're talking about something different when you're talking about the soul and the heart. You're talking about things that you want to use as an employee, as an executive.
I think it's simpler than that even. I think, of course, when you talk about like engagement and all that, then for sure. But I think that like the role of the CIO is also going through huge transformation.
Yeah.
Because today, as employees get younger, no one is using tools in general because they have to. They only use them because they want to.
Yeah.
And that means that there isn't like a guy, a guy that's been there for 50 years and he has a mustache and he's telling everybody to use this thing and everybody's complying. It's not the world anymore. They won't use it. They won't use
Reminds me of the conversation we just had. You either going to have a president in jail or the president on hospice, and that's the CIO.
Yeah, that's right? Neil Brennan's Netflix special. I watched it last night, and he was talking about the election, and he just said, I don't really care. It's either going to be Trump from jail or Biden from hospice. Whatever.
That's the CIO, right? The CIO,
the
old school CIO, except with the mustache, the hospice CIO. Right.
Well, their struggle, the CIO's struggle right now, outside of all of the stuff we've talked about, is AI, is understanding data flow, and AI and the future of that. All that's new. But, Giddy, we need to get you on to your next best thing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been absolutely amazing.
So, hey, guys, thanks a lot. And if I can say, like, one thing out of all of this, I think companies and people leaders – I'm not saying HR leaders and communication leaders have an amazing opportunity to move up in term from operational or like sort of like necessary evil to transformational and critical, like right hands to the CEO, because that is the number one challenge that technology should address today. And we need to ask ourselves, the adoption, what would people use? How do I actually make people happier about their work, creating more connections, things like that? And they have an amazing opportunity to really elevate their importance, their role, their criticality in the company with seeking change and transformation and not submitting to more of the same.